be looking at just one verse this evening. Let me regress just a little bit and think about our families. If you get your family together, you know that there's always the possibility of conflict. How many know that? Yeah, there's a possibility of conflict. No doubt you have, seen some of that conflict. If you grew up in a home and you had a brother or sister, you probably had some conflicts with them. Isn't that true? You probably had some conflicts with your parents. And these things happen. I remember my grandmother. My grandma was from Scotland. And so I got Scottish blood in me. You're excited about that. And they came by way of Ireland. I thought for many years I was Irish because they came from Ireland. But they went over to Ireland so they'd get to the United States. And my grandpa's family with the Springer name, that's German. So you got to forgive me partway. And anyways, my grandmother was a peacemaker. So if there was some sort of a problem brewing between some uncles or whatever was going on, she was the kind of person that just kind of somehow brought about peace. And when she died, why, things were a little rocky for a little time. But her example really proved to be beneficial in the years after that. And for many, many years, why, family would gather for reunions and my aunts and uncles would come. And little by little, they've passed off the scene. Just about two months ago, most of you remember, my aunt, who had also attended our church on a couple of occasions, passed away. And she was the last one, 92 years old. And all of them lived to be quite elderly. The gals did, but the guys don't. I don't know what that means. Anyways, through those last several years, why we'd get together, and it was always a very good thing. Now the cousins get together, and for the most part, get along pretty good. In order to get along with each other, there's got to be an absence of something. For our text tonight, in Proverbs 13:10, says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Think about that. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I want us to stop and think about tonight, what kind of an individual are we? And I'm not talking about pride here, though that is very much a part of it. Are we contentious or are we considerate? Are we contentious or are we considerate? It's Wednesday night. Most in this room, I'm going to assume, are saved. If you're not, I trust you get saved. But as we stop and we think about this as Christians, what does it mean? Am I contentious or am I considerate of others? I find in the Word of God that God teaches us that really things are very quite simple in my mind. He teaches us there's two commands. I mean, you boil it all down. One is to love God and one is to love our fellow men. It's just that simple. In other words, God writes the entire Bible to teach us how to get along with God and how to get along with others. Really, stop and think about it. And so we find this is the basis of all of it. And we find from the Word of God as we study and look at it over and over, as we've learned how to get along with God because we've put away our pride, by the same token, that's the way we get along with our brothers and sisters, especially in Christ. And so here we look at some very, very important truths. The truth pervades, I believe, throughout the Word of God, and that is that man's fighting is always a result of pride. Again, what's that verse say? Only by pride cometh contention. Doesn't say any other way. Though we're going to see some other thoughts with that, but only by pride. In the book of Psalms, chapter 73, a psalm that's really talking about the wicked man. And he says in verse number 6, "Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain." And then it says this, "Violence covereth them as a garment." And that is the normal, natural way of men in this world. And what happens is, we come to this world and we think it's all about us. Little babies, they think it's all about them. Really, that's it. And as we grow up, listen, moms and dads, I believe one of their chief responsibilities is to teach that child that there are other people in this world. But far too often, as parents, we teach that child how to even be more selfish and more prideful. We do that oftentimes in the way we treat them and so forth. We make them the center of our entire lives rather than trying to teach them that they have a center of their life. And that ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ and others. And we do it, I think, so often in a backwards fashion. And so what happens is pride becomes that elevator of self all the way throughout life. And we struggle with this so often. The Webster's Dictionary, I love the 1820. I mentioned to you the other day, if you don't have money to go buy one of those, it's online, it's free. Just type in Google. Headlines in tonight's paper of Google's putting another $8 million or $1 billion into accounts of bluff. So, you know, you can use Google once in a while. But put in 1828 dictionary and it'll come up. Matter of fact, several sites that have it. But this is what this said. Inordinate self-esteem. That's what pride is. An unreasonable concern of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office. And so we have here this tremendous definition teaching us that pride is having this feeling of superiority in whatever area it might be. Now, it's true that in life we do have those who are over us as far as they are to have authority over us. But as individuals, none of us are any better than anybody else. Because I found my Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all on that same level. We're all in the same boat, if you please. And oftentimes, however, because of position, because of our beauty or some kind of talents we have, we begin to think that we're better than others. Here's one of the bad things that happens in education. Some kids are very bright as far as learning the way most educational systems want us to learn. And that's through using the eyes and the ears. But there are some young people, they don't learn well through the eye or the ear. They need hands-on. I was amazed. I went to a conference convention last fall with the ACE workshop. And a guy by the name of Dr. Johnson's there, and he tells us that if he is going to try to memorize something, he has to be moving. I call those feet learners. And so here's a guy, he's got to be moving. He says, if I'm going to memorize, he says, I've got to be walking back and forth. For those kind of people, sometimes they put them one of those little trampoline things, and they jump up and down, and they can memorize things. We have kids that are out around in the buildings right now. Some of them, they've got to be moving to learn. And if you go in there and you try to set them still, they're going to go nuts. They got to have a little bit of movement. And so you got all these different kinds of things. And so you have in our educational system these two primary learners, and the guy has to move. Oftentimes he's looked down at it and people think he's some kind of a dummy. When in fact he's not. When in fact he may have some tremendous abilities if he had the opportunity to learn from them. And so here we find that oftentimes in our society we have all these little things that are kind of built in that help us to exercise our pride. And we don't need much help, do we? Not at all. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until iniquity be found in to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. But think about it. Here is a guy, he flattereth himself, but really he's evil. He thinks he's good, but he's not. The prideful person is so conceited in his ways that he places himself even above God. Think about what God says to you and me in the book of Isaiah. He says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Who does God look at? Those who have a humble spirit. Those who are willing to see themselves as they really are. And yet so often we have this horrible thing of pride. And by that pride, we find ourselves getting into a lot of trouble. We find ourselves in conflict with people when God wants us to learn how to get along with people. If you and I are going to be successful as God's people, if we're going to be successful at reaching this world must see that we love each other. Not that we're contentious with each other. It's something that we have to learn. It's a learned thing because we have learned how to be proud, haven't we? All the way through. And so here we find this problem. Think about this, though. Now, we go to the book of James, and it says this in James chapter 4, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" Now, he says this a little bit different, but think about it. "Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" Now, he goes on in the next verse and really is getting into the matters of prayer, but he says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." By the way, it's because of our pride that we don't pray. We don't seek after God. And we find that you and I, we have this lust within us. And what is that lust? I believe it's a part of our pride. It's a part of self-gratification, if you please. Self-exaltation. And it causes amongst us fightings and warfare. Now, I understand tonight, please, I understand. There are things that you and I are going to have to stand for. I realize the Bible says we're to fight the good fight of faith. And I understand tonight that we have a devil and we have all of the forces of evil out there that are against us, and there is that fight. But we're talking here about something whereby you and I are not to be fighting each other. You and I, we need to stand together, amen? And so often as God's people, we can get on the outs with each other. So often we can have these things. And I'm not speaking this tonight because there's a problem. I'm speaking this tonight because we need to constantly be aware the devil wants to rise this thing up in our hearts and our minds. He wants to exalt that in us that we might go in the wrong direction. Now there's another thing we stop and think about. When you go to the book of Galatians, where we've been recently on a number of occasions, we find that the Bible speaks of the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh, as we stop and look at them, there are three of them that are very, very closely related to violence, which would be what? That which is to each other. Wrath, strife, murders. I could pick out those three very definitely. Interesting, you go to the fruit of the Spirit, and we find there that God speaks of peace, long-suffering, and gentleness. And so if you and I tonight are going to be a people who learn how to get along with each other, not have these contentions to where we set pride aside, we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We need that. So as a Christian, I want us to stop and think about something tonight. What can our course of action be to change from being contentious to considerate of each other? From that which is causing a problem to that which is going to solve the problem. Do you like fighting? They have these things on today. I've watched them. I must confess, I kind of like watching them. Ultimate Fighting. I mean, these guys go at war with each other. That does not sound appealing to me. Now, there may be guys in this room that really sounds appealing to them, you know, but that doesn't. I have allergies to such things. I do. I break out in bruises and bumps and all sorts of problems. I never was one who liked that. I don't understand those. Kenny back there, he's a wrestler. Would you take like third or fourth place in state, Kenny? I forget what you did. Where were you at? You got the state anyways. And he's a good wrestler. Matter of fact, his brother Francis, when he was in there, was a good wrestler. If you look at their dad, you kind of understand it. And you wrestled, didn't you? Still do. Work out with him sometimes. And there's guys that like that sort of thing. And we're talking about a competition thing there. It's like I've always liked basketball and I've enjoyed football. And my favorite sport really was volleyball. And you're in competition. And I mean, you're I'm not talking about that kind of scrapping, okay? I'm talking about when we're in arguments. I'm talking about when we're having those kind of conflicts. And God wants you and I to get along. And when we're prideful, when we all we're seeing is our own way, we find ourselves in conflict. If you're a parent tonight and you have children, you know that they scrap because one wants his way and the other one wants his way. What's that called? It's called pride. Only by pride cometh contention. What can we do as God's people to help us in this area? And in seeking an answer to that, there's two things I'd like to just share with you. Number one, recognize that whatever you are, whatever talents you have, whatever ability that is yours, it came from God. Amen? It came from God. When you go to the book of Matthew in chapter number 25, you find there that God gave them talents and told them to go use those talents. And of course, there's purpose in that whole thing. But what I want us to understand is God gave them those talents. They tell me I could maybe play the piano because I got these long fingers and I could stretch over some things and what have you. But that's never interested me. Who was it? You found out some of the music Doc had done. I told her, you need to go online and you'll find YouTubes of me musically. No, they're not YouTubes. They don't have them. They don't exist. The best thing I can play is a CD player. I can do a pretty fair job of that. All right. Doc was talented. Played for years the steel guitar. And has an ability there. She can play the piano. I don't have that ability. And God gives different people different things. We understand that. Amen? But if we take that same ability and begin to think that we are somebody because we have it, we find ourselves in a position where we're going to be in contention with somebody. Let me give you an illustration, something I had a very difficult time for many years with, and that is simply my size. Because of it, and people would always make little comments, I thought, wow, you know, I'm a whole lot bigger than that little guy. And I had to figure out, whatever I am physically, I had nothing to do with it. And when I look around and I see somebody that's short or whatever size they are a unique individual just like me. And quite frankly, there's some times it'd be really helpful to be short. I can think of one in particular. Try an 8 or a 10 hour flight on an airplane. It's ridiculous. You all bought me a ticket several years ago to go to Hawaii. You know where my ticket was? You know these jets that have 2 seats over here, 2 seats over here, and 5 in the middle? Guess where mine was? In the middle. I look clear up at the front, and you know what I find up in front? There's this little dinky gal. She's up there with all this legroom. And the worst thing about the whole thing on this 8-hour flight was she never was there. She was constantly around about flirting with the attendants. I wanted to go up and take her seat. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's times I'd like to be smaller, amen? And it has, listen, that is something that God gives us. Whatever we accomplish in life, the Apostle Paul, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we need to understand that whatever it is that we're able to accomplish, whatever it is that we are, whatever gifts that we have, the Bible speaks of people having the gifts of God. They're given severally as He will. It's His choice. It's not ours. If we're going to have pride, we need to have it in the Lord who gave us those abilities. So first of all, I say to you, if we're going to have any kind of conquering spirit over this pride that you and I deal with so often, let's stop and consider that whatever we are and whatever we're proud of in our lives, it's of God. He's the one that gave it to us. He's the author of it. And by the way, He's the one who can take it away from us very quickly. And so how well y'all thank God for Him. Secondly, and I hinted at it just a moment ago, and that is this. We need to allow the Spirit of God to direct us. The flesh will bring warfare every time. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Okay? And you can take that peace however you want to, but I believe it also can be peace between people. It gives us the right kind of an attitude. How do we allow that to take place? Turn to the book of Philippians for just a moment, chapter 2. Book of Philippians, chapter 2. Let's look at verse number 1. It begins, says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded, having the same love, being of what? One accord, not contentious, of one mind. See? That's what He desires. He goes on and says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to look at verse number 5. Let, allow, if you please. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when you go on in those verses, you find that the Lord, who is the Anointed One, who is God, what did He do? He made Himself of no reputation, it tells us in verse 7. Took upon Him the form of a servant. God says, let this mind be in you. It's something that we allow. You see, God wants to lead us. The Spirit of God wants to lead us. But you and I, we must let Him do that. And too often, we're too busy saying, no, God, I can do it my way better. And we don't stop and allow the Spirit of God to direct us. Now, sometimes people say, well, how do you know if He's directing you? In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 14, it says this about the Holy Spirit of God. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. How can we know? Who's it bringing glory to? Who's it bringing glory to? If it's to bring glory to ourselves, is that the Spirit of God leading? Now, God will bring honor to people. But you need to let God do that, not you seek it. I hope you can see the difference there. Because God will do that. But we need in our lives, as we're seeking the leadership of the Spirit of God, is God going to get the glory from this? Then we're on that track. We have a problem. Only by pride cometh contention. You got a little baby sister, don't you? Is she about a year old now? You love her. You haven't had a fight with her yet, have you? You have? Really? She wanted something and you wanted it. Isn't that amazing? What are you, 13? 18? No, how old are you? 12. You're 12? I had a pretty close first time. And is she one now? Not two? There's 11 years difference and you've already had a fight. Wow. Do you know why that fight came about? pride. You wanted your way, she wanted her way. I say that from experience. We all have the same problem. I'm picking on you, all right? You got brother, sister? Do you get along with them magnificently? Do you know why? They always want their way, don't they? But you know what they're going to tell me? You always want your way. That's what they'll tell me. It's true. We don't like to think that way, you know, but it's true, right? William, you get along with your brother all the time? See, I'm not just preaching to adults. This is teen stuff, right? Yeah. Only by pride cometh contention. You want your way, he wants his way. What happens? Yeah. So what do we have to learn as God's people? What do we got to learn? I'm not even going to pick on you, Sean. Because I could go to husbands and wives, but I won't go there. We'll leave that alone. Okay. We'll leave that alone. I go to Doc back there. Do you know what Doc says? Doc says, I choose to be happy. And this way he says, if they were to have intense fellowship, they don't have arguments anymore. Is that right? Intense fellowship. And if they were to have some intense fellowship, he says, I have a choice to make, and that is whether I want to be right or whether I want to be happy. And he says, I choose to be happy. And Dee says, I choose to be right. But works out beautifully. But you know what he's saying in that statement? And really, it's neat. What he's saying there, it's a choice for me whether I want to be contentious or not. Whether I want to be stubborn and fight for my way or be considerate of the other person. Really. And when you're old enough that you don't buy green bananas because you might not get to enjoy them, you just don't have that much time to waste on fighting, right, Doug? But if we'd all live that way, what a wonderful spot that would be. What can we do? Stop and think about whatever it is that you are. Whatever it is about you, God made you. So we're not going to be prideful of it, thinking we're better than somebody else. I've had the privilege in the last 6 months to talk to two different medical doctors quite extensively. One of them is my heart specialist. He has over 200 doctors in the Allegiant Health System. He is their, I don't even know what you call him. He told me, he said, doctors are the biggest bunch of babies in the world. That's what he told me. He said, they think the world revolves around them. I was astounded what he told me. The other one is the specialist I go to with my neuropathy that I have. And I was talking to him about a month ago, and he told me, he said, now you got to understand something. I go to a veterinarian. He was a veterinarian until he was 48. He retired as a vet and went to medical school. And he's taken up this specialty in what I have is peripheral neuropathy. And actually has been some help to me. I'm very appreciative of that. And anyways, in talking to him, he says, all of my life I've gone to school in continuing education. He said, the one thing that I have seen with doctors is they sit in their little corners and they look at the rest of the people. Not all of them, but he says many of them. And they look at it and they think that everybody is stupid. Now, I was talking to him just Monday about this very same thing. And he told me this. The new crop of doctors, they're teaching them different. And There's a lot different atmosphere that's going on today than used to be. Those of you who can go back into the 50s and 60s, you know some of the attitude that was there at times. Pride. And what my heart specialist said was, these guys fight like cats and dogs. He's basically their arbitrator, trying to calm them down, keep them all in flow. And last time I talked to him, he says, I'm about to give it up. Somebody else can do this. But by the way, if you sit down and talk with him, he's very personable and not one of those kind. Oh, listen, as God's people, we ought not be that kind, but have the right attitude. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much that you have been so gracious to us. Oh God, so often we get prideful of that which is given to us of you. Rather than giving you the glory, we take it. Oh God, forgive us. And oh God, help us to really learn how to follow the Spirit of God in our relationships one with another. Let this ugly thing of pride not bring about a contentious attitude, but that we might be considerate one of another. Lord Jesus, I need you to lead me in that. For in my old nature, my flesh, I'm contentious. Lord, I pray that you help us to learn to follow you in this thing. Make us very aware, oh God, that we might seek your face and we might follow after you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.